Why Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 calls Jesus the Word of God. Introduction. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 says of the rider on the white horse, his name is called the Word of God. This statement is often read too quickly. Many people see the phrase Word of God connected to John chapter 1 and immediately conclude that Word simply means Jesus in every context. From there, the reasoning becomes very simple. Jesus is called the Word of God. Therefore, the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. But Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 does not say merely, his name is called Word. It says, his name is called the Word of God. That full phrase matters. The wording does not begin with Jesus and then define every use of Word backward from him. It begins with a biblical phrase already rooted in the Old Testament, the Word of God. The question is not simply, is Jesus called the Word? The deeper question is, what is the Word of God? And why is this name given to Jesus? When the whole biblical pattern is followed, the answer becomes much clearer. The Word of God is the Word that belongs to God, proceeds from God, reveals God, and carries God's authority. In Scripture, that Word proceeds from God's mouth. God's mouth is not empty metaphor. It points to God's living personal structure, His form. John chapter 1 then identifies Word as the revelatory designator for God's form in action. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 calls Jesus the Word of God because God's own form is the spiritual source of Jesus' emergence and the ground of his spiritual identity, making him the one through whom God speaks, judges, reveals, and rules. Thesis. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 calls Jesus the Word of God because the Old Testament Word that proceeds from God's mouth is grounded in God's own form, and that form is the spiritual element given in the emergence of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is not called the Word of God because Word is simply a flat substitute for the name Jesus. He is called the Word of God because he is the one through whom God speaks, reveals, judges, and rules. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 does not say merely Word. A precise reading of Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 reveals that the text does not say his name is called Word. It says his name is called the Word of God. That means the phrase must be read as a whole. The of God is not decoration. It tells us whose word this is. It is God's word. It belongs to God. It proceeds from God. It carries God's authority. It reveals God's will. It accomplishes God's judgment. This distinction matters because Word of God is already a biblical category before Revelation chapter 19. Scripture speaks of the Word of God as that which comes from God, reveals God, and accomplishes what God purposes. God creates by His word. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6. God sends his word, and it accomplishes what he pleases. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11. God's word comes to the prophets as divine disclosure and command. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 3. Hosea chapter 1 verse 1. The phrase already has a history before it becomes a name applied to Jesus in Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. So Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 is not inventing a new category out of nowhere. It is applying an established biblical reality to Jesus. The writer is called the Word of God because he is the one in whom and through whom God's Word, his own revelatory form, is personally revealed in judgment and victory. The Word of God proceeds from God. The Old Testament does not treat God's Word as a detached concept. God's Word comes from God. It belongs to him and proceeds from him. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. This verse is important because it brings together three realities. The Lord, the word of the Lord, the breath of his mouth. The word is not isolated. It is connected to God himself, to his mouth, and to the breath proceeding from him. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Again, the word is not floating independently. It goeth forth from God's mouth. It carries his intention. It accomplishes his purpose. It returns with fulfillment, not failure. This is the Old Testament pathway. God speaks. His word proceeds from his mouth. His word carries his will. His word accomplishes what he sends it to do. That is the background Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 assumes. The writer is called the Word of God because he stands in relation to God's own speaking, God's own authority, and God's own active purpose. The mouth of God points to God's living form. Many readers treat the mouth of God As if it is only a metaphor. Scripture certainly uses vivid language to speak about God, but that does not mean the language is empty. When Scripture speaks of God's mouth, hand, arm, face, nostrils, or form, it is not giving meaningless imagery. It is revealing that God is not an abstract force. God is the living God. Scripture says God has a form. Numbers chapter 12 verse 8 says Moses beheld the form of the Lord. John chapter 5 verse 37 says, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 speaks of the form of God, since God is spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24, his form is not a physical body made of dust. God's form is his spiritual form, his living personal structure, able to appear visibly when God wills. This is the key. When Scripture speaks of God's mouth, the mouth points to the living structure of God's form. A mouth belongs to a personal being. Speech proceeds from a mouth. The word proceeds from God's mouth because God is not a silent abstraction. He is the living God who speaks from his own personal reality. So when Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 says the heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and by the breath of his mouth, the verse is not giving loose poetry. It is revealing an ordered divine pattern. God is the subject. His word proceeds. His breath is involved. His mouth is the structural point from which the word is described as going forth. This gives us the biblical connection many readers miss. The word of God proceeds from the mouth of God, and the mouth of God points to the form of God. The word from the word. Scripture uses word language in two closely related ways. Sometimes word refers to what God speaks, his command, declaration, utterance, or preceding speech. This is the word that goes forth from his mouth and accomplishes his purpose. But John's use of word reaches deeper. In John chapter 1, word functions as a revelatory designator for God's own form, the living personal structure from which God's spoken word proceeds. The spoken word comes from the mouth. The mouth belongs to the form. Therefore, God's spoken word proceeds from God's word. These two uses are inseparably related, but they are not identical. The spoken word is the preceding expression. The word is the revelatory form from which that expression comes. This distinction is essential because Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 does not merely call Jesus a spoken message. It names him the Word of God, because God's own word, his revelatory form, is the spiritual source of his identity and the ground from which God speaks through him. This prevents confusion in both directions. The word must not be reduced to a spoken sound, sentence, or message. At the same time, the spoken word that proceeds from God must not be collapsed into the word, as though the preceding expression and the living form from which it proceeds were the same category. The pattern is simple. The spoken word proceeds from the word. The expression proceeds from the form. The command proceeds from the mouth. The mouth belongs to God's living form. The breath and spirit connection deepens the pattern. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The word translated, breath, here connects the act of speaking to the life-bearing force proceeding from God. Scripture also speaks of God's spiritus belonging to him and operating in power. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 speaks of the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. Psalm chapter 104 verse 30 says, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. 2 Samuel 22:16 speaks of the blast, or breath connected to God's nostrils, while also using spirit language in the wider biblical pattern of divine action. The point is not that breath and spirit are always the same word or should be flattened into one term. The point is that Scripture repeatedly connects God's speaking, God's breath, God's mouth, and God's own spirit in the work of creation, revelation, judgment, and life. This pattern keeps the Word of God grounded in God. The Word is not an independent divine person beside God. The Word belongs to God. The mouth belongs to God's form. The breath proceeds from God. God acts by his own spirit. The entire pattern is centered in the one living God. John chapter 1 identifies Word as a designator for God's form. John chapter 1 begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 verse 1. John does not begin by saying, in the beginning was Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word. That matters. John begins with Word, because he is identifying God's own revelatory reality before the historical emergence of Jesus. The Word is with God because the Word belongs to God's own personal reality. the Word is God because the Word is not a creature or a second being outside God. The Word is God's own revelatory form designated in relation to God speaking, revealing, and acting. This is why John chapter 1 verse 14 is so important, and the Word became flesh. The Word does not merely visit flesh, use flesh, or speak through flesh from the outside. The Word became flesh. That means God's own revelatory form entered the human condition by becoming the spiritual ground of a real human life. This does not mean God stopped being God. It does not mean God transformed into a human soul being. It means God's own form was given as the spiritual element in the emergence of Jesus. Mary supplied the physical element according to the human line. Luke chapter 1 verse 31. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. God, by his own spirit, gave his own form as the spiritual element. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. The result was not God alone and not an ordinary man alone. The result was the one divine human Messiah, Jesus. So John chapter 1 gives the foundation for Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. The Word is God's own revelatory form. That form becomes the spiritual source of Jesus's human emergence and the ground of his spiritual identity. Therefore, Jesus can be called the Word of God because he is the one in whom God's speaking form is personally present in human life. What does spiritual element mean? The phrase spiritual element needs careful explanation. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 gives the basic pattern for human emergence. God formed man from the dust of the ground, then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. The human being comes into being through the union of a physical element and a God-derived life-bearing element. The result is one living soul being. The physical element refers to the ground-derived reality of the human. In Adam's case, Scripture designates this as dust of the ground. The spiritual element refers to the God-derived life-bearing reality involved in the coming to be of the human person. The breath of life is the revelatory designation that points to this deeper God-derived element. When the physical and spiritual elements unite, a living soul being emerges. The living soul being that emerges is not identical to either element by itself. The physical elementis not the person. The spiritual elementis not the person. The living soul being is the personal I, who comes into being through their union. This means the soul aspect is unique and emergent. It is not inserted as a separate substance, and it is not reducible to the body or the spiritual element. It is the personal center of the living human being who comes to be. Jesus also comes into being as a real human soul being, but his spiritual element is unique. He does not receive the ordinary Adamic spiritual element that marks humanity after the fall. The Father, by his own spirit, gives his own form as the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. That is why Jesus is truly human as a soul being, and truly divine in the source of his spiritual life. The spiritual source of his emergence is not the fallen Adamic element, it is God's own form. This distinction is essential. God's form is the spiritual element in Jesus's emergence, but God's form is not identical to Jesus as an emergent human soul being. Jesus is the real human I, who comes into being through the union of the physical element from Mary and the spiritual element given by God. Therefore, the Word designates God's form, while Jesus is the soul being whose spiritual source is God's form. This prevents collapsing Jesus into the Word, as though there were no real human emergence. This is why Jesus is not merely a prophet who receives a message from God. Prophets receive the Word of God and speak it. Jesus is different. The form from which the Word of God proceeds is the spiritual source of his emergence and the ground of his spiritual identity. That is why he uniquely reveals God. Jesus is the one through whom God speaks. Now Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 becomes clear. Jesus is called the Word of God because he is the one through whom God speaks. This does not mean Jesus is simply another word for Word. It means the Old Testament Word of God, proceeding from God's mouth, is now personally revealed through the Messiah because God's own form grounds his spiritual identity. In ordinary prophetic ministry, the Word of God comes to a prophet. The prophet receives and declares what God says. The prophet functions as a faithful witness, but the Word remains something given to him from outside himself. In Jesus, the relationship is deeper. God is not merely sending a message to an external servant who then relays it. God's own form is the spiritual source of Jesus's emergence and the ground of his spiritual identity. Therefore, when Jesus speaks, God speaks directly through his physical mouth, not through a relay service arrangement, but through ontological union. Jesus's will is perfectly aligned with the Father, so his speech is the human expression of God's own word proceeding through him. This is why Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works." John chapter 14 verse 10. The subject remains God, who is the Father. Jesus is the man through whom God speaks and works. The Father is not absent. The Father is truly present in Jesus through his form, acting by his own Spirit. So Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 names Jesus according to this reality. He is the Word of God, because he is the one through whom God's own word proceeds in visible, royal, judicial action. The sword from his mouth confirms the meaning. Revelation chapter 19 verse 15 says, "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." This confirms the meaning of the name in Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. The writer is called the Word of God, and then the vision immediately shows a sword proceeding from his mouth. The connection is direct. The name concerns divine speech, judgment, and authority. God's word comes through the mouth. In Revelation chapter 19, the mouth belongs to the writer because Jesus is the one through whom God speaks and judges. This is not the picture of Jesus as a detached messenger repeating words from a distant God. The mouth belongs directly to the writer because the writer is the one in whom God's own form is personally present. In the Old Testament, the word proceeds from God's mouth, Psalm chapter 33 verse 6, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11. In Revelation chapter 19, the sword proceeds from Jesus's mouth, Revelation chapter 19 verse 15. This movement is not a contradiction. It is fulfillment. The form from which God's word proceeds is now the spiritual ground of Jesus's identity. Therefore, when Jesus speaks, God speaks through him. This is the force of the form in form. Pattern. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 speaks of the form of God, and Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 speaks of the form of a servant. The passage does not describe God merely using a human messenger from the outside. It reveals the descent of God's own form into the servant form of real human life. God's form is present within the human form of the Messiah. So when Revelation shows the sword proceeding from the writer's mouth, the vision is displaying that same ontological union. In royal and judicial form, Jesus's mouth is truly the mouth of the Messiah, yet God's own speaking form is the spiritual ground from which the word proceeds through him. This imagery echoes the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 4 says the coming ruler will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 2 says, "He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword." These texts connect mouth, word, judgment, and divine authority. Revelation chapter 19 gathers that pattern and reveals it through Jesus the Messiah. The sword is not held in his hand. It comes from his mouth. That means the victory is by divine utterance, not ordinary warfare. The Messiah conquers because God's word proceeds through him. Why the name is given to Jesus? The name is given to Jesus because names in Scripture reveal identity, calling, authority, and divine appointment. Abram becomes Abraham because his covenant role is revealed, Genesis chapter 17 verse 5. Jacob becomes Israel because his new identity in relation to God is declared, Genesis chapter 32 verse 28. Jesus is called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, the name the Word of God reveals Jesus's unique role in God's final judgment and rule. He is not merely a messenger carrying words from God. He is the Messiah whose spiritual infrastructure is grounded in God's own form. Therefore, God's own word proceeds through him. The name does not erase the distinction between God and Jesus. It preserves it through the phrase, of God. The word is of God. The authority is of God. The judgment is of God. The victory is of God. Jesus bears the name because he is the one through whom God's word is revealed and enacted. The simpler biblical progression. The whole argument can be stated simply. Scripture says the word of God proceeds from God's mouth, Psalm chapter 33 verse 6, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11. God's mouth points to God's living form, because mouth language belongs to personal structure, not abstract force. John chapter 1 identifies word as the revelatory designator for God's form in relation to God's speaking and revealing, John chapter 1 verse 1. That word became flesh when God's form was given as the spiritual element in Jesus' emergence, John chapter 1 verse 14. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Therefore Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 calls Jesus the Word of God because He is the one through whom God speaks, judges, reveals, and rules. This progression avoids unnecessary complication. It does not begin by forcing the phrase Word of God to mean Jesus in every context. It lets Scripture build the pathway. Word of God, right pointing arrow, mouth of God, right pointing arrow, form of God, right pointing arrow. Word, as designator, right pointing arrow, form given in Jesus, right pointing arrow, Jesus called the Word of God. This pathway also preserves the crucial biblical boundary. The spoken command flows from the mouth, but the mouth belongs to the Word, God's living revelatory form. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 calls Jesus the Word of God because God's own form is the spiritual source of Jesus' emergence and the ground from which God speaks through Him. That is the biblical connection. Why this does not make Jesus a mere shell? Some may misunderstand this and think it makes Jesus a mere shell used by God. That is not the point. Jesus is not an empty outer container. He is a real human soul being. He has real human consciousness, will, experience, obedience, suffering, and death. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8. The point is not that God merely uses Jesus from the outside. The point is that Jesus's spiritual grounding is God's own form. That means Jesus is truly human, but not merely Adamic. His spiritual infrastructure is divine in origin because it is grounded in God's form. God is therefore truly present in Jesus, not as a second person beside God, and not as a vague influence, but through ontological union. This is why Jesus can reveal the Father uniquely. He does not reveal God only by repeating information about God. He reveals God because God's own form is the spiritual ground of His identity. When Jesus speaks, God speaks through Him. When Jesus judges, God judges through Him. When Jesus rules, God rules through Him. Why this does not make the Word a separate person? The phrase Word of God itself guards the meaning. The Word is of God. It belongs to God. It proceeds from God. It reveals God. It accomplishes God's will. Scripture does not require us to turn the Word into a second divine person beside God. The Old Testament pattern already gives us the category. God speaks through His Word. His Word proceeds from His mouth. His mouth points to His form. His breath and spirit belong to Him and operate in His action. The entire pattern remains within the one living God. John chapter 1 does not break that pattern. John chapter 1 deepens it. The Word was with God and was God, John chapter 1 verse 1. The Word is not another God beside God. The Word belongs to God's own being. The Word became flesh, John chapter 1 verse 14. Because God's own form became the spiritual ground of Jesus's real human emergence. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 then names the exalted Messiah according to that reality. He is the Word of God, because the Word that belongs to God is now revealed through Him in final judgment and victory, bringing it all together. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 is not complicated when the phrase is allowed to remain whole. The writer is not called merely Word. He is called the Word of God. That phrase reaches back into the Old Testament. The Word of God proceeds from God's mouth. God's mouth points to God's living form. God's breath and spirit belong to the same divine pattern of speaking, creating, judging, and giving life. John chapter 1 identifies Word as the revelatory designator for God's form. That form became the spiritual source of Jesus' emergence and the ground of His spiritual identity. Therefore, Jesus is called the Word of God because He is the one through whom God speaks. The spoken Word proceeds from God's mouth, and the mouth belongs to God's living form. John identifies that form with the designator, Word. This distinction keeps the article from collapsing Jesus into the Word, as though there were no real human emergence, and it keeps the Word from being reduced to a mere spoken message. The mouth language in Revelation chapter 19 strengthens this conclusion. The sword proceeds from the writer's mouth because Jesus is not a mere mouthpiece. He is the divine human Messiah in whom God's own form is present as His spiritual infrastructure. In the Old Testament, God's Word proceeds from God's mouth. In Revelation, God's Word proceeds through the Messiah's mouth. The movement shows the fulfillment of the biblical pattern, form in form. God's form present in the servant form of Jesus. the name does not flatten Jesus and the word into careless interchangeability. It reveals why Jesus uniquely bears this name. He is the Messiah in whom God's form is truly present as his spiritual infrastructure. He is the one through whom God's word proceeds in authority. He is the one through whom God reveals, judges, conquers, and rules. So Revelation chapter 19 verse 13 does not simply say, Jesus is the Word. It says something more precise and more powerful. Jesus is called the Word of God because God speaks through him from the very form that grounds his identity. Igor Pagoda, Christ-Rooted, Divine Identity Theology, DIT.